Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. It is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. That means it is Trivia Friday. And Walker Wildman's in the studio with me. We have new two T-shirts that we're going to announce tomorrow. It's a pre-announcement.
Yeah.
But we have new Trivia Friday T-shirts. So I'm just kind of whetting the appetite of those who are listening and who look forward to Trivia Friday to remember. We get these new apparel.
To further tease them, they're going to look great.
Yes.
They're going to look great. And I'll
and smarter.
Smarter and better and what's the heretofore?
They're gonna look gooder. Oh yeah, than they have heretofore.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, we'll bring those T-shirts in studio, and if you're on Facebook, you can watch the live feed and see the new shirts, and then you can go purchase one.
All right, and we have been posting on Facebook, right? Some of these stories, and
that's right. All the news stories from OneNewsNow.com have been posted there, and I also posted the Fox News story about the teacher in Florida referring to the pronouns. So yeah, all the news stories are on Facebook.
The gender-neutral lesson that those fifth graders are getting from this teacher. Well, I'm just not going to go to my rage mode because that's just so frustrating. But anyway, so that story's up. Good. Great. And for those of you who are on Facebook, you can watch us literally see what we look like on Facebook Live. Most of our listeners are disappointed when they do that and they see what we look like. So, but that's the risk you take. When you click on a link in this world nowadays, you better be careful before you click on a YouTube link or something someone sends you. That you better be careful. You want to click on Facebook Live and watch us, you get what you deserve when you see what we look like. All right. Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News, an all-around great guy.
Hello.
Who I'll bet if we asked him to sing, he's got such a good voice, if we asked him to sing his stories on this last segment, he could pull it off.
Probably could, but it would be in minor key because they're kind of sad. By the way, I don't want to give away too much, but I've seen the shirts for Trivia Friday, and if you are disappointed with the way that people look on Facebook Live, you're not marketing those T-shirts very well. That's all I got to say.
We have little caricatures of Tim and I and JJ, and we're going to have a second T-shirt with our support staff, you know, with Brent. And with Walker.
You should just put the support staff on the back of the T-shirt that you guys are on the front of.
That's a good idea. Next time around.
Or on the inside.
Anyway, it would be all-inclusive.
Well, all-inclusive. All right, Steve. What do we got news-wise that our folks are interested in, or even if they're not interested in it, we're going to talk about?
Well, we have some news from the Russia Files.
I love it.
All right, comrade.
I've instructed Steve. I don't care what he has to do to find a story that allows us to play that song on there. Manly song.
Someday it might be that I had Russian salad dressing on my...
Doesn't matter. That's from the Russia Files. All right.
Well, so you remember a couple months ago, President Trump tweeted out that the Obama administration had wiretapped, or President Obama had wiretapped Trump Tower.
Yes.
Everybody mocked him roundly and soundly for that and called him a liar, and it has been the post upon which they have whipped him for these many months at one of the posts. Well, it turns out that on a CNN interview, James Clapper, the former director of National Intelligence, suggested that maybe it's not so out there that the Trump White House in New York, the Trump Tower, was wiretapped. He said that they did, in fact, have a wiretap on Paul Manafort. And Paul Manafort has an office, an apartment in the Trump Towers, and it's possible that they picked up conversations with the then-president-elect Trump. All of a sudden, it doesn't look so much like he was lying or exaggerating. On this morning on Sandy Rios in the Morning, Sandy had her husband Bruce on. Bruce is a former supervisory special agent with the FBI, so he knows about this. One of his jobs was to go to the FISA court and present the FISA court, which is the court that authorizes intelligence gathering in the United States.
In fact, it stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Right.
Creates the FISA courts.
And the foreign part means that you're not supposed to spy on American citizens unless you have strong suspicions and enough for a warrant to convince the FISA court that an American citizen is conspiring with a foreign entity to do harm to the United States.
And this court was created, and the act was passed by Congress in the wake of 9/11, right? So this was initially meant to target or to survey, I guess would be the way you pronounce it, American citizens.
No, mostly foreign citizens, but American citizens can be caught up in this, I believe.
If they are thought
actively
to be conspiring with terrorists. That was the original part. Was how do we find out if they're trying to, if they have an in? Is that not correct?
Terrorists or foreign governments to do harm to the United States. In other words, are they spying on the United States?
Right.
Are they giving secret documents to an enemy of the United States? The distinction here is that it's not just an American who's talking to a foreign government or foreign officials. That's not enough. The bar has to be a little bit higher than
Now, help me here, because I'm a little confused. Now, the FISA warrant does allow surveillance on an American citizen.
Yes.
If. Okay.
If they meet that high bar.
Okay.
So Mr. Clapper here telling CNN that indeed there was a wiretapping warrant issued through FISA for Paul Manafort, who was with the Trump campaign, and that indeed they might have picked up a conversation between President Trump. This morning, as I was saying on the Sandy Rios in the morning show, she had her husband Bruce on, and he is a former supervisory special agent with the FBI. His job was to go to the FISA court. He talked about perhaps reasons why the Obama administration might have put out a warrant on Mr. Manafort.
It's basically he's before his bosses. He's before the Congress that oversees the FBI, and they want to know what's going on with this investigation.
And if you
listen to the parsing of words by then-Director Comey, I find it amazing. He says, I have no information that supports those tweets. That's not an answer.
The wiretapping.
The answer should have been, we've reviewed our files. We had a FISA warrant on Paul Manafort in which the president may have been picked up on. Now, that should not have been divulged in the public hearing, but when you watch these hearings, you always see them say, I can't answer that now. That needs to be done in a private setting. Well, believe me, when Comey was asked that question about whether there was a wiretap, his response should have been, can we go to closed session? And then he should have been readily straightforward with the information that, yes, there was a tap on Manafort, and the president was picked up on that. The purpose of these hearings is transparency, not to parse words. And when you watched all these people, Clapper, Comey, they all parsed their words when they got up there. And that might be okay in a criminal trial where you only answer the question as it's posed. But in an oversight hearing, you tell them what's going on to the fullest extent of your knowledge.
Now, I heard this show this morning, Sandy's show, heard this segment. I can't always get the whole show because I'm only traveling to work for 20 minutes. But I did catch this. It was so interesting because Sandy then asked her husband, Bruce, again, who was in the FBI for a long time. So he understands the FISA court and how this all operates. And he and Sandy asked him, well, Bruce, is it possible that James Comey would not have known that the FISA court had approved a warrant to wire, basically wiretap? That's what we used to always call it, wiretap, engage in surveillance on Paul Manafort. And she said, absolutely not. James Comey would have known everyone who's in charge of these departments, because your career is on the line if you sign off. In other words, if James Comey signs off on something for a FISA court warrant approval without looking at the details, his head's on the chopping block.
Right.
And so he said, absolutely, James Comey knew, and that's why he is just amazed that James Comey was parsing his words, because the truth is that at that time, oh, this is again according to Sandy Rios' husband, Bruce, at that time James Comey would have known that a FISA court had issued a warrant. Right? Am I right about that?
And in fact, she went on to ask him, do you think that James Comey lied? And Bruce's answer was, yes,
right,
I do. And where what they have gotten, how they went about this is, do you remember that document that a British spy came up with that had these outlandish accusations against then businessman Trump, or candidate Trump, and some of his staff?
There's a file that he created.
There's a file that he created, and it has been debunked. It had meetings in places that the principals in the meetings weren't there. It had some very salacious sexual details about prostitutes in Russia and everything, and it has been completely debunked. But here's the thing. Once you get that hook in the fish, in the terms of someone convinced the FISA court that that document,
they're calling
at
it
some
a dossier.
Point in time, the dossier was valid enough for them to wiretap or surveil Manafort, who was somehow connected with that dossier. And once the investigator gets, and the investigator in this case is Robert Mueller, once he sniffs out some impropriety, even if it's nothing to do with that document or the people in that document, this is where she talked about the fruit of the poisonous tree, also the legal concept of if the information you collect is collected on the basis of an illegal premise.
Or an illegal search.
Or an illegal search.
People have watched Law and Order enough
right.
times
right.
to understand
you're not,
this.
You're not supposed to be able to use that. And so from that dossier, they might have gotten to someone, and then from that someone, they probably got Manafort. And from Manafort, now they're making all these business, looking into business deals, and that's how these things get going. All of it would not probably would not be allowed in a court of law. And to date, because we know this White House and this investigation leaks like a sieve, we certainly would have heard something by now if there was anything to these charges. It doesn't look like there is.
I want to go back to the original basis of this story, and that is this is very serious accusations, and what is coming out to be very serious facts, that a presidential candidate and then eventual nominee and now sits in the Oval Office was surveilled by our own government, whether directly or indirectly.
Yes, it'd be indirect.
Whether directly or indirectly, there's ways around that. He was picked up in surveillance communications during the election. That in itself should raise very serious concerns, especially since there's no evidence that he in any way did anything illegal or worked with any foreign government in any way during the campaign.
Fox News goes on further in a related story by Brett Baer and Catherine Herridge. By the way, I respect Brett Baer, but Catherine Herridge is
sharp.
The ultimate. Yeah. She's
like foreign policy and intelligence.
She does, yeah, intelligence and Congress.
Reporter.
She is good.
She is.
I mean, she is really
good. And I would consider her bipartisan. She is not a partisan reporter.
No, she's a reporter that goes where the facts
Straight
take
up
her.
Journalist.
Yeah. Right.
And so I
What
agree with
they
her.
Have discovered I mean, with it was that Samantha Power, who is the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, was
Under President Obama,
was requesting the unmasking of names.
Now explain what that means a little
when
bit.
When surveillance picks up an American citizen, generally what they do is they black out the name of that American citizen. And the report of what was said to the foreign entity is what is important. They, you know, generally, unless there's a reason to, they don't need to know what the name of the American citizen.
Now, the CIA would still have that name, but in terms of any reports, the name is blacked out.
Remember, the CIA by law, cannot operate within the borders of the United States.
That's right.
It's only foreign intrigue that it looks at. And she was asking for the unmasking of names on a daily basis up until the day before the inauguration. So after the election, when he was president-elect Trump, and before, in fact, they say that she asked for so many names that it was the daily, she asked for at least one a day for the entire number of day of working days in the year of 2016, if that makes sense.
Has, Steve, to your knowledge, has the Department of Justice opened an investigation into unmasking, possibly illegal unmasking?
They have not said that they have. They've not said that they haven't. Many people have asked. Certainly the president has hinted that or said that that would be an appropriate investigation to look at, along with several other things with Mr.
Because, unmasking names in this context is illegal except for a fairly small set of circumstances, right? Because you're supposed to protect the identity of people.
It's a little bit of a gray area, Ed, because those circumstances are pretty much in the eye of the person that's asking for the unmasking. And a court, like a court, will give a police officer a little more credence in a case because he works for the law. They tend to give government officials who ask for unmasking a little more credence, too. But remember, for a long time, many people have suspected a deep state or the leftovers of the Obama administration, which he took 8 years to get into office. They're still around. And so the thought that Samantha Powers was doing this not because she was investigating or concerned with foreign intrigue, but that they wanted to get some kind of dirt on President-elect Trump.
So that would be the motive. That's the suspected motivation for Samantha Powers or anyone else in the Obama administration wanting the CIA to unmask. So we want to know, you have a black line through this name. We want to know who this is, because they were trying to put together some sort of narrative and some sort of evidence by which they could
harm the
Trump candidacy or presidency.
It's also important to note that just a few days before President Obama left the Oval Office on January 20th, just a few days before, he signed an executive order. This timing was very convenient here. He signed an executive order that allowed more intelligence sharing within the intelligence community. I believe it's 12 or 13 agencies. But he signed that order just as he was leaving. Some people are saying he signed that so that all the unmasking and all that information could be spread out so much that there's no getting it back under control.
Providing cover for for the party that he was with.
Right.
Yeah. There's conspiracy theories, and then there are salacious allegations, and there are all kinds of things. But here's the problem. When you continue to label something as the Democrats and the left are doing with regard to the unmasking issue as a conspiracy theory, the more you dig into this, when you get admissions like Clapper gave to CNN that, in fact, there was some wiretapping, it turns out the conspiracy theory is looking more and more like it might be.
And Clapper was one of the ones who initially said there's nothing to this. The tweets
he did
of President Trump that there was wiretapping.
He did.
Going on.
He said not only does this FBI director Comey.
James Comey,
who said not only does the FBI not know of any wiretapping claims that's false, but I've been asked by the Justice Department to let you know, committee members, that the entire Justice Department has the same answer. They know of nothing about wiretapping of anything.
Yeah.
He did, it turns out.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, what else we got? We're running low on time, but we'll squeeze in what we can.
All right, I'm going to give you a fun one. Is that okay? Can we
that
have
is
a little
okay.
bit of a fun one?
We can sidestep the some of the corruption and ineptitude of Washington, D.C.
Folks, you can go to onenewsnow.com and get all the serious news that we cover here. And this story is going to be up tomorrow, probably, or the next, or, well, it's tomorrow's Saturday, tomorrow's Friday, but it might be up next week, but... apparently, the Navy has decided that the days of peering through a commander draping his arms over the T that's at the bottom of a periscope and looking out at them doing this. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can see me pretending to be in a submarine. But
think Hunt for Red October.
Right, where they bring the submarine, the periscope thing goes up, and the commander looks through the little eye holes like you're looking through a binoculars, and he's turning the thing and looking around. Well, that was a little bit it's hard to share information. So what they did is they made a remote-controlled periscope, and they project the image on a TV screen so multiple people can look at it. The controller for that remote-controlled periscope cost $38,000 to
make.
Yeah,
my first reaction would be, well, this is high-tech. We're talking nuclear submarines.
That has to be working during war and everything.
Yeah.
Well, some very ingenious sailors, and then it got to be Lockheed Martin and the Navy got their heads together and thought, maybe we could do this differently. They went to the store and got an Xbox 360 controller, the one that your kid sits for hours on the couch using. And they have done that up. I haven't looked at it, but I think you can get one for $10 or less. You could get one for pretty cheap if you want used, but I wouldn't think you'd want the hands of the periscope in a used Xbox controller. But folks, I hate to say this, but now when your son or daughter is sitting on the couch playing Xbox and you want them to get up and mow the lawn or do the laundry or or come to dinner or whatever, Mom, I'm training for the Navy.
I'm training for the Navy. I might captain a submarine someday, and what I'm doing is preparing for that.
So what did the company, this has to be embarrassing for the company that produced this, the military product?
$38,000 one.
Yeah, well, so maybe overpriced?
No, not necessarily, because it... everything that the military buys, you suspect of being a little overpriced. You hear about the $7,000.
Well, let me explain something here. Just, I have a little bit of background, not personally, but my dad worked as an electronics engineer. He worked on the MX missile and the Patriot missile system. And I asked him one time because he was working for companies that built things for the military. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, how come the toilet seat, $10,000, whatever? I mean, how come that's mm-hmm. the famous one?
Right.
You know, and so this kind of thing. And he said, well, here's the reason why. People make fun of it, but here's the reason why. What happens is that the federal government tells a company like Motorola, or in this case, whoever made
Lockheed
Martin, said, here are the specs we want you to use in making 100 of these, okay? And it's very complicated, and they have all oversight committees. And he said, when Lockheed Martin, I'm just updating what he said, Lockheed Martin makes this, they have to make it, and it's like producing, you know, one special cake, that, and that's all you work on for an entire, you know, year. It's going to cost a lot of money. And instead, what these enterprising Navy guys did, or gals, whoever, is they said, well, why do all the specs and, you know, just produce 100 of these? You can go to Nintendo, who makes them by the tens of thousands.
I have to say this, that the effort, the Xbox controller came around from a collaboration between Lockheed Martin and Navy officials looking for a less expensive solution. So in this case, Lockheed Martin is to be commended, actually, for going after it.
All right, good.
They're going to be putting Xbox controllers that cost half $15,000 right now.
Well, anyway, so that's a good news story. We saved some money for our Navy and enterprising. What do you call them on boats?
Sailors.
Sailors. All right, enterprising sailors. I don't know if it's a special submarine term. All right, folks, that is all we have for today's issues. For Chris Woodward and Alex McFarland, Steve Jordahl, Walker Wildman, this is Ed Vitagliano. Thank you. More great programming directly ahead.